Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Set to go on this weekend best of edition. We're going to recap some of my favorite segments from the week. Gearing up for the NFL playoffs, we focused on several other sports. In fact, on today's best of, you're going to hear some NBA basketball talk. We were joined by a great friend of mine, Jameson Welsh. That was earlier on in the week. Talked about the craziness of the Clippers-Rockets contest on MLK. That was nuts, where the Clippers had a couple of Rocket players try to break through into their locker room, led by former Clipper Chris Paul. Crazy story. We talked about that. And about the struggles of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Also, less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting, Major League Baseball is about to heat up, and it's going to be a great, great time. I love Major League Baseball. Can't wait for it. A couple of free agents still floating around out there, big-name free agents like Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta. They haven't signed yet. We talked about that, and also the recent moves of the Pittsburgh Pirates. They moved on from Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen, and now it looks as if Harrison's going to be the next one on the way out. The San Francisco Giants have acquired Longoria and McCutchen. Is that going to make a difference? We talked some Major League Baseball. And on the local sports front, the end of the wrestling and swimming season is right around the corner. We were joined by Coach Kurt Christiansen to talk about the final week and a half of regular season wrestling. The Spartans are on the road this weekend at the Rockwell Rumble, which is taking place at the Sevier Valley Center. We got up with Coach Christiansen to talk about that. So, plenty coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports, a great mix of both local and national. And again, don't forget, you can always podcast Drive Time Sports by visiting Castle Country Radio and clicking on the Drive Time Sports link in the right-hand corner. The best of Drive Time Sports coming up when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
I enjoy working with kids. I want to be a teacher, but don't know where to start. If this sounds like you, then USU Eastern's bachelor's degree in education may be the right path for you. A bachelor's degree can generally be completed with 2 additional years of study following the completion of an Associates of Science or Associates of Arts degree. USU Eastern has the lowest tuition in the state and many financial aid options available. For more information, call 613-5000. USU Eastern. Take on new heights.
Sutherland's is Price's home improvement headquarters in 2018. Kick off your decorating plans with Kilt's 2 Latex Primer for only $14.75 a gallon. And buy one Red Devil White Painter's Caulk and get one free. Red Hot Savings on a Quick Set Tylo Keat Entry Lock Set for only $7.77. And a Richmond 40-gallon Everclean Natural Gas Water Heater, only $375. Stay warm with premium wood pellets for only $4.50 a bag and only $3.99 each when you buy 50 or more. Only at Sutherland's.
At KFC, we make chicken the hard way. Hand-breaded, freshly prepared, and finger-licking good. Our chicken isn't made the fast way or the easy way. Each fresh batch of the world's best chicken starts with our cooks inspecting each individual piece. Then, our fresh chicken is carefully rolled 7 times in our secret blend of 11 herbs and spices before being rocked 7 times, and then pressure-cooked at a low temperature to preserve all the great taste we're known for around the world. We could find an easier way to make chicken, but then we couldn't put our name on it.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for 2, foul, and 1.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from January 15th through January 19th.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to move away from the local sports front and talk Major League Baseball. It's easy to forget that we're about a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting because right now we have the whole hustle and bustle with the NFL. The NBA is now past MLK Day, and it seems like that's the second half or for the casual fans, the beginning of the season. And of course, college football is now done. Easy to forget about baseball, but we are January 17th already. Winter meetings have wrapped up, and we just don't know where a couple of big-name free agents are actually going to go. In fact, we do know the San Francisco Giants seem very intent to bring in high-priced talent that were good about 3 or 4 years ago. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our good friend Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, it's been too long since we have had you on to talk Major League Baseball, but I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, I appreciate the time as well, sir. Let's get into it.
And let's talk about it because, again, like I said, it's easy to forget about baseball this time of the year. It really is.
It is. And, I mean, you get caught up in the NFL stuff, and then, you know, you hear about the Ocean's 11 type break-in of the LA Clippers locker room the other day. That becomes a storyline. So there's a lot of things going on. But to your point, we're less than 30 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and there's a lot of storylines that are starting to percolate now around the horn.
Let's start by talking about the San Francisco Giants. For me, looking at this team, they maybe are better off going the route of the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates have hit the reset button. They trade Gerrit Cole. I know that Harrison's going to be moved here relatively soon. That just seems like a give me. And then they move Andrew McCutchen. I understand what Pittsburgh is doing. I do not understand what the San Francisco Giants are doing. I know that Andrew McCutchen is coming in on a contract here. I get that. I get that he's okay with making the move to right field. Yet at the same time, this move does not make the San Francisco Giants any better. In fact, it maybe even makes them worse when you take a look at the situation in the grand scheme of things, Steve.
There's so many fascinating storylines with Pittsburgh doing this because couldn't you argue that Andrew McCutchen is as big a name and as big a brand in Pittsburgh as Giancarlo Stanton was to Miami? That can be argued. Now, the numbers are not comparable, but Andrew McCutchen is as big a name to the Pirates as Stanton was to the Marlins. Yet I don't hear as much anger and discontent from Pirates fans who seemingly are content with the idea that, yes, this is a rebuild mode for the Pittsburgh Pirates. What I don't understand is the anticipation in San Francisco for this. Andrew McCutchen hasn't hit more than 30 home runs in a single season since 2012. He's never had 100 RBIs. In a single season in his major league career, he's never had 100 RBIs. Yet, you hear people from San Francisco and you hear Giants fans talk about this like this is the greatest move that the Giants have made in the history of the Giants. And I just don't see it. You're getting an aging outfielder who clearly is telling you he doesn't want to play center field. He'd rather play right field, which is a cavern in San Francisco. So now you're getting a guy who, again, he's coming into a contract year. I understand all that. I don't want this guy on the tail end of his career. I just don't. And I think that's what you're getting with Andrew McCutchen. And if you're Pittsburgh, yeah, you lose a big name, but you're in a reset mode. We've seen this mode of operation work out before. We saw it work with Houston. We saw it work with other teams, you know, dumping high-priced talent. You're kind of seeing it with the Dodgers, dumping some high-priced talent, looking ahead to the future a little bit. I know we'll get into the Dodgers here in a moment. But to me, this just seems like you just wanted a big name on a roster to sell tickets and fill seats. That's great. I don't think it makes the Giants any better in the National League West.
Really, I don't either. I mean, again, he's going to join, which is definitely a new look lineup. It's going to include Longoria. Bochy is definitely going to be relying on both of these guys to produce some runs, but the problem is Andrew McCutchen has hit, 28 home runs, 88 RBIs last season? I mean, that is it. Hasn't been an All-Star since 2015. It's a stretch. It's almost as if they're trying to do patchwork, and in the NL West, I still don't think they're better than the Diamondbacks. I don't think they're better than the Rockies, and this definitely does not even put them in the same realm as the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, in regards to the Pittsburgh Pirates, they moved on from Cole. They've moved on from McCutchen. Josh Harrison says it would be better for all if he was to be moved. And I actually like Josh Harrison. I think he's got a very friendly contract as well. And you're talking about a guy that can play, that can amply play multiple positions here, Steve. I would expect Josh Harrison, based on what he is owed next season, to kind of be a hot commodity over the next couple of weeks. I could see a lot of teams calling the Pirates on Harrison.
Yeah, he's scheduled to make, I think, $10 million this year. They've got options on his contract for 2019 and 2020. He's an all-star. He plays well at both positions in the infield, second base, third base. He's played some outfield. He's a utility guy. You can move him around to different locations. And I think he's a guy who, if you're the Pirates, yeah, do you want the distraction of someone who doesn't want to be there and clearly isn't happy there? Do you want that in your roster? Do you want that in your clubhouse? No. The idea that he's a prima donna, because he's saying this, and I've heard that from people who have said, we don't need a guy with a prima donna attitude. Guess what? They're all millionaires. They all have prima donna attitudes. Some of them actually want to win. Some of them actually want to be on teams that are competitive, and they're willing to make a sacrifice here or there. Not all the time, not all the athletes, but there are those who do. And I mean, if you're telling me that, you know, if the idea of him moving to a better team for better possibilities is a bad thing, then you've just described every single American's desire to move up in an organization or move up in their business as being selfish. And I'm sorry, that's wrong. If that's selfish, I'm okay with selfishness. That's the same argument that was maintained when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. He wanted a chance to play on a winner. He felt that was the best decision for him and his family. And if Josh Harrison feels that way, then by all means, let me help you out in that cause.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Steve, let's talk about some of the free agents, because I thought the last time you and I talked, I thought by the next time we had a conversation about Major League Baseball, there would be enough movement. But still, it's kind of like the hot stove. It's frozen right now. I mean, we still have names like Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta just sitting there. Kind of shocking. I know everyone is gearing up for 2019. I get that. But there are still a group of players that could help contending teams win right now. The problem is nobody wants to break the bank for these guys. And I guess it's just obvious. That's why we're kind of at a standstill at the moment.
I think there's a standstill, and I think the reason you're seeing some of these big-name teams with big-time payrolls not being very active right now is, A, I think there's a comfort level. We mentioned it a moment ago with the Andrew McCutchen deal in San Francisco not making them better than this team, that team, or this team. That move doesn't make them any closer to the L.A. Dodgers. And thinking of the Dodgers right now, okay, they acquired Scott Alexander from Kansas City. They shipped out Adrian Gonzalez, Brandon McCarthy, Scott Kazmir. They reacquired Matt Kemp for some ungodly reason I can't really understand. But, okay, so they did all these things, and they've got this ton of money sitting there. Meantime, the Cubs have been relatively quiet also in this offseason. They've made a few tinkering moves here or there, but they haven't gone all in on anybody. Why? Because the big prize is at the end of next season. It's next year when you have Bryce Harper out there. And there is going to be a massive bidding war between the Dodgers and the Cubs for Bryce Harper. Now, there's going to be other names that will be out there as well, but that's the coveted prize right now. He's made it very clear, much like we talked about with Josh Harrison. He's made it very clear. He's frustrated in Washington. They're not the team. They're not the organization. He wants to be on a team that's going to provide him an opportunity to win championships. Those are both the Cubs and the Dodgers, and the reason you haven't seen them make big moves is because there's no one close to them right now in their respective divisions. Nobody's catching the Dodgers. They may not be a World Series champion in 2018, but the roster that they put out there in 2017 was 9 innings away, painfully as that is to admit, 9 innings away from being world champions. The Cubs were 1 series away from being from playing in back-to-back World Series. Both of those teams are going to be just as good in 2018 as they were in 2017. So to that end, that's why you're not seeing a lot of movement from these big-money teams, with the exception of the Yankees. And good for them. They went out and got themselves another 200-strikeout guy in Giancarlo Stanton. That's fantastic. They're going to hit 9,000 home runs, and they're going to lose in the playoffs like they always do. So I'm fine with that. But as far as the National League is concerned, I'm okay with where the Dodgers are, and I'm fine if you're a Cubs fan with where they are.
I also think one of the things that have held the game up, the free agency game up this offseason, is the fact that the Sohei Ohtani sweepstakes, that was a big deal. And I saw a lot of movement. The Mariners, for one, the Mariners made a move when they acquired D. Gordon in the offseason. And I thought, okay, they're actually in play to grab Ohtani because of the amount of money that they garnered in international player for an international player. There were several teams that I thought were trying to make moves to make sure they could facilitate Ohtani. And at the same time, you also had the Giancarlo Stanton deal, which we all know held up numerous signings. It held up numerous. It was kind of like the domino effect, right? We thought that once Stanton found a landing spot, all these dominoes would fall. But I think that those were two very big roadblocks this offseason, Steve.
No, and I agree with that. And I think, you know, to the point of the Giancarlo Stanton move, you know, again, the Yankees needed another name out there to either facilitate or to protect Aaron Judge in the lineup there. That was done for a very specific reason. Teams that don't have specific needs going into 2018, but know that there's going to be specific needs in 2019, are going to sit back on it. And I know earlier, before we went on the air, we were talking about, you know, the Dodgers pitching staff, and I know we're going to get there in a moment. The Ohtani move was a big roadblock for a lot of teams because a lot of teams were paying a lot of attention, and I know there's also that, you know, there was some controversy about whether or not there was some, you know, improprieties and how he was moved around from team to team and, you know, the negotiations and the process and all that. I don't care about that. Wherever he wound up, good. Good luck with it. Best of luck with it. That's fine. As far as the Stan thing, I think that was your big move, and now there is this stalling point where you're going to see one or two more names moved. You're going to see a couple of more players, but this is setting up for a trade deadline in August or July, and then a free agent bonanza, which is going to be so much fun to talk about as we get to the end of next season.
All right, so let me ask you this question. What happens first, and this is in regards to pitching, because you did mention the Dodgers pitching staff. Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta find homes, or the Rays finally move Chris Archer, who has been in trade rumors for the past, seems like, 3 years?
I think Darvish happens and Arrieta happens before we find out where Archer goes. And I think one and one A have to do with B. Like, if the Cardinals wind up going for Arrieta, which would be hilarious in every way imaginable, division rival, et cetera, or if Darvish winds up with the Cubs, I know that's been talked about a little bit. So I think those happen before Archer happens.
Fantastic stuff. And you mentioned the Dodgers pitching staff. If they don't bring back Yu Darvish, you and I are on opposite ends here. This team is ready to win a World Series right now. I say go out, spend, let's do this right now. You don't want anything to do with Yu Darvish. So if the Dodgers were to stay away from Darvish, are you comfortable with where this rotation is in LA right now?
Did you forget Game 7?
Don't care. He got him there. They don't get there without him. They don't get there without him.
They'll lose the World Series without him.
That's fair, too.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, I remember the first five innings of games. I remember the first two innings of Game 7. They were fairly dreadful.
He was horrible in the World Series. But I also...
I understand the idea of Darvish. What I'm worried about is this. Did Darvish do too much harm to his reputation in L.A.?
That's a fair point.
Think about that fan
base
for a
moment. That's a fair point. That's fair. That's fair.
You know, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily works. Now, to that end, you put there's one piece of the equation with L.A. that we tend to forget about, and that is there's one more offensive weapon that'll be back with the Dodgers next year. That's Andrew Tolles.
Correct.
Once you get him back into the lineup, you go back to that small ball mentality. You go back to station baseball, which is what Andrew Tolles was going to provide had he stayed healthy in 2017. And in my mind, would have put the Dodgers over the top. You could have put literally anybody on the mound in the World Series at that point. Now, does that mean Yu Darvish? If Dodger fans can overlook the absolute calamity that was Game 7, okay, yes, but I'm not banking on that guy. I can't bank on that guy doing that again, not screwing up again in Game 7 of the World Series in 2018. That's my only worry, is does he make that same mistake again? If he doesn't, and he comes back and he dedicates himself to, you know, to being the same pitcher he was when the Dodgers acquired him, okay, I'm fine with that maybe. But that's a big, big stretch. And if that's not the guy, then I think you have to go out and look elsewhere for another pitcher. Because, again, I get your point. You know, Kershaw's older now. Rich Hill's older now. Alex Wood's older now. I get it. Rich Hill's one more blister away from going on the DL for 60 days. I
blister
get all
boy.
That. Kershaw's back's always an issue.
Right.
I understand all that. Do you put Darvish out there as a safeguard? Maybe. But that's an awfully big risk.
You had to bring up blister boy.
Of course I do. How do you not bring up Blister Boy? That guy's a hand lotion advertisement waiting to happen.
It's almost like a major league plot, like the movie Major League, a pitcher that can't stay away from blisters.
Right.
That's what it is.
He's the guy who needs the lucky charm on his bat. He's Serrano.
Right. Steve Bornstein of Fox Sports in New Mexico. Steve, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Fox Sports, AM 1340, 93.9 FM. If you're in the Northwest New Mexico area, why wouldn't you be? You can listen live to First Sports every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Or if you're anywhere around the country, you can listen live on the iHeartRadio app through our website at foxsports1340.com. We talk national sports. We're obviously getting ready for the NFL Conference Championship games coming up this weekend. We are your exclusive home here in the Four Corners for the Super Bowl coming up in a couple weeks. So we'll have that going on. We also cover a variety of national sports. Jordan is a frequent guest on the show talking college football, so we appreciate all of his hard work as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM, and in addition to the morning drive sports talk show on weekend mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, I also host a nationally syndicated horse racing show called The Fast Track. And again, for more information on that, go to our Twitter fan page at Fox1340AM.
Yeah, and if you didn't get all that, look, Steve's a workhorse. It's 7 days a week, right, Steve?
It is. It's 7 days a week, but it's beautiful. It's an endeavor based on love.
Definitely. That's a great way to put it. Steve, I always look forward to the conversation. Thank you again for the time. I know we'll do it again soon.
Anytime, my friend.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With eFiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom, 613-9605.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family. They offer the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work, helping you get quality health care at one convenient location. Emory Medical now has extended hours to better serve you. Open Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., and Fridays, 7 till 5. To make an appointment with one of the trusted providers, please call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Philip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from January 15th through January 19th.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll it. Favors takes it. Score!
Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're going to talk some NBA basketball here on Drive Time Sports. Yesterday, MLK Day, huge day. Obviously, historically, but at the same time, a very huge day for the NBA. It's kind of like the beginning of the season. We had basketball all day long. Started early in the morning, and it continued on throughout the night when the fireworks erupted between the Clippers and the Rockets. We're going to talk about that and a little bit more right now with our next guest, our NBA insider, Jameson Welsh, who was kind enough to join us each week. Jameson, MLK Day did not disappoint in the National Basketball Association. I know for Jazz fans, they would have liked it to have gone a little bit better, but needless to say, that's a footnote compared to what happened last night between the Rockets and the Clippers.
Yeah, that's what everyone's talking about. It took over Twitter. It took over the news. Like, that's what everyone's kind of talking about. It's going to be very interesting to see how it shakes out, only because, like, the Rockets play the Golden State Warriors on Saturday, and that's the first primetime game of the year on Saturday. So what's going to take place? So there is Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, who else? Gerald Green was involved. Clint Capella was involved. So if you start suspending people for one or two games, there is no Rockets versus Warriors game that's going to be worth watching, because you're going to have, you know, most of the Rockets core players out. So it's a very unfortunate situation. At the same time, it's hilarious when you think about it. Like, when you sit back and look at it, NBA, no one's going to fight anymore. That's first and foremost. Like, no one's going to fight. Like, there's not going to be any fisticuffs. It's a lot of barking, a lot of loud talking. But at the end of the day, no one's going to fight anyone. However, it's really funny when you break it down. Like, Chris Paul, 6 foot at best, is leading the charge into the old locker room, going a different route and doing it, having Capella knocking, you know, going to the front, and, you know, Austin Rivers is involved. No one likes Austin Rivers for various reasons. Like, it's like, we can hear all the storylines, it's actually really hilarious. But the execution, it's really a bad short story movie.
Well, okay, so I'm kind of, I don't know what side to be on here, because I'm the guy that says I hate the fraternity mindset in the NBA, and I do. I hate it. I love the fact that, you know, 10 years ago, there were teams that genuinely did not like one another. It made for compelling basketball, and I like the idea of one entire unit hating and wanting to beat and another, another entire unit. And I think we have that missing from the NBA. I didn't have that vibe last night. I think that these two teams genuinely do not like one another. Now, on the flip side of that, nobody has really liked the Clippers for the last 6-7 years, because this was a team that the NBA spoon-fed Chris Paul to this organization. They had never really accomplished anything, but they were Lob City. They were giving themselves nicknames. And I think players in the association took offense to that. On the flip side, I don't think really too many teams like Houston as well. So you have two very unlikable teams from the mass going at it with one another. I'd be lying if I said I didn't like it last night, James. I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed the fact that Blake Griffin got into a shouting match with Mike D'Antoni. I enjoyed the fact that there were, you know, elbows from Capella through going towards Blake Griffin the entire night. I love the fact that Chris Paul showed a little bit of a spark, like a hateful spark against his former team. I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it.
No, it was like, Jordan, look here, it was hilarious. Like, I'm telling you, sit back. Cause I was on a plane ride this morning, so I'm reading all the tweets and whatnot. When you sit back and look at it, it's really hilarious. It's more funny than anything, because we both know, we've covered the NBA for almost 10 years now. We both know guys aren't fighting. Like, guys, there's not going to be any drag down, fist fights, anything like that. It might be some loud talk in the background. Might be pushing and shoving, but guys aren't going to be swinging on each other. Like, that's just not going to happen. And we all know how NBA fights usually are over. It's usually over money, women, or some other petty disagreement. It's nothing really serious. But for some reason or another, last night it got real. And whenever you hear about guys going to the locker room, you know, that gets pretty intense. It's pretty funny. But the whole thing about the tunnel, some random tunnel, if anyone's ever been to Staples Center, they know that, you know, locker rooms are kind of, you can kind of get, like almost any arena, you can kind of get to any part of any room if need be. Like, all the rooms aren't that, there's no secret passageway or anything like that. But it's just the whole story is just really funny. It's more funny than serious. However, you cannot condone it as a league. You can't condone fighting. So I get it. But at the end of the day, it was hilarious. Like, it really was. Like, that's what, and that's the thing that makes NBA great, is that something like this happens And it's not the end of the world. We're all laughing about it 24 hours or 12 hours later. It's not, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Like, no, like, this is really funny. And we're all laughing about it while we're at work or we're at school the next day instead of taking it too seriously and about to spin guys for five games and having a court case with the NFL would do. It's funny. It's entertaining. Like, NBA is the best entertaining sport there is right now.
Yeah, you know, as far as what led to the, whatever you want to call it, the invasion into the Clippers locker room, I would have loved to have been in the Rockets locker room when Chris Paul said, I can get us in the locker room. You want to go in the locker room? I can get us in the locker room. Let's go.
Right.
Look, I've covered more games than I could count at Vivid Sport Home Arena. To my knowledge, there's really only one way to get into the Utah Jazz locker room. So you would
that's the old school arena. That's
exactly. It's an old school arena. Right.
All the new arenas built the 2000 on, there's usually multiple ways, but the arenas, the arena you're speaking about, the one in Phoenix, the one in Portland, those are a little older, so it's a little bit different. But I'll give you a funny story. T-Mobile here in Vegas, I got lost and stumbled into the Lakers locker room during preseason. I took the back lane, I stumbled into the back of the locker room. So these new arenas, a little bit different.
it's a funny story all the way around. It was a great basketball game in which the Clippers actually won 113-102. If we take it a step further, we go away from the drama in this game. Let's look at where the Houston Rockets are right now. They're 30-12, but they played 500 basketball now for the last month. I mean, they really, at one point in time, we were looking at the Rockets kind of setting the pace in the Western Conference and the Warriors playing the role of that team that kind of just lies in the weeds. That's not the case. Is there legitimate concern in this Houston team? Because I am seeing flaws. I know that they don't have a deep bench. We're 42 games. We're past the midway point now in the NBA season. Are there legitimate concerns for this Rockets team?
Of course. Whenever you go 7 or 8 deep and you play that kind of system, there's definitely going to be concerns. Both of their two best players have been out for stretches this year already. Chris Paul's been out twice already. And, you know, James Harden's out now. He's scheduled to come back either Thursday or Saturday. But at the end of the day, like, when you play this kind of system, like, Golden State plays a very similar system. But they go, like, 12 deep. Like, pretty much every guy on the roster can play or has played some significant minutes this year. They even started. Pretty much everyone on that roster has either started or has played over, like, 25 or 30 minutes. Mike D'Antoni, people talk about Tibbs running guys into the ground. Mike D'Antoni might be number 2 on that list. Like, Mike D'Antoni plays this 7 guys. And that's just it. Like, you know, that's a blowout or something. If it's a regular game, he might go to a third reserve. But other than that, that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get a full deep team. So when you play, when you lead the league in pace, when you shoot a lot of threes and you're exerting a lot of energy on offense, it's going to be very difficult for that to last going forward. So as you're seeing, yeah, they had the great start in the first, you know, fourth of the season. And then it tailed off because the legs aren't the same. You know, teams are adjusting. Teams are playing guys definitely running off the three. Now, they're still going to beat a lot of the bad teams in the league, but the teams that can do different things, you know, they can really stifle the Rockets. And if the Rockets aren't hitting threes, you can forget about it.
Well, let's look at this. Again, Golden State being the one seed. I'll tell you why that one seed is so important. If you're Golden State or if you're Houston, you don't want to play Minnesota in the second round. And Minnesota right now is a 3 seed, and they're going to float around that 3 mark. They're going to be around that 3 or 4 mark. Look, you don't want to play Minnesota in the second round. That's the last team you want to see before you go into the Western Conference Finals.
Well, here's the thing. Minnesota is an interesting team. I actually think Minnesota is the third best team out West right now. I think, all things considered, I think Minnesota, like, because I don't know if we're going to see Antonio. I have no clue, Jordan. I don't know if Kawhi's going to be healthy. I don't know what the rest of your roster is going to look like. They've been hit or miss for most of the year. I know what I'm going to get in Minnesota. I don't like Tibbs playing guys 45 minutes a night, but at least I know what I'm going to get. They're a very talented team that can make anyone, that can give anyone trouble. I think the spot, I think if you're the top 3 or 4, you're okay. Once you get out of the 5th to 8th spot, that's when it gets trouble because now you're in a matchup to really, really struggle. But as long as the Rockets maintain that 2nd spot, if they can stay in that 2nd spot, they'll be fine because home court is really good for them. And also, the Timberwolves are young, so I would still favor them over in a series. However, I don't know, man. Out West, I just don't know what's going to happen. It seems like someone's going to make a trade. Someone's going to do something, whether
right.
it's
yes.
OKC blowing it up, whether it's Minnesota adding a piece, the Rockets adding a piece, the Spurs. Somebody's going to do something to kind of change the landscape of that middle of the pack But at the end of the day, the West is the Warriors and everybody else.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jameson Welsh, our NBA insider here on Drive Time Sports. We'll flip to the East. Toronto, Boston at the top, Cleveland at number three, and don't look now, but the Miami Heat have won 8 out of their last 10, and they're a game back now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You and I had this talk off of the cuff. This Cleveland team last night, we got a good look at it. Golden State did not play good basketball. Cleveland is old, they're small, they're slow. That's the problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I don't know if Kobe Altman can fix this problem within the next month, because that's basically his time frame to get this team set for the postseason. Jameson, right now there are legitimately four teams in the Eastern Conference that I could see taking Cleveland out in a seven-game set, and I haven't been able to say that since LeBron James rejoined Cleveland. I see four teams that could take them out in a seven-game set right now.
And here's the issue. They're having stuff internally. They're having internal problems. You have a lot of guys on that roster that have gotten paid and have provided little results since they've gotten paid. Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, guys that have recently gotten paid. I just don't know if that roster. That roster, as we mentioned earlier, it's older, it's slower, and it's small, and you just don't win in the league as an older team. The league right now is all about space and pace, switching on defense, being active. They're just not active. If you look at the Warriors are a really good defensive team, but they get their hands on a lot of basketballs. They deflect a lot of passes. They play the pass lanes well. They get unintentional steals just by being alert and being active, but that because their guys are younger. When you're older guys don't play defense. Like that's just, and that goes at all levels of basketball, whether you're in the pros or you're playing at 24-hour fitness or in a rec league or whatever. Older guys aren't there for defense. They're there to get up shots and be productive. So when Dwayne Wade has a little burst of 6 points in 4 minutes, it looks good. But on the other end, it's a struggle for him to get in a stance and guard his man or follow around Klay Thompson around a bunch of screens. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Cavs. They have a lot of decisions to make, especially when they don't know what LeBron's going to do this summer. They're probably going to end up moving that 8th pick. But if you're Kobe Altman, that's a job. That was a rough job when you took it. It's the reason why Chauncey Billups turned that job down, because you have to make a decision not knowing what's going to happen in the future with your star player. And also, the other guys on that roster, there's no guarantee Isaiah Thomas is there either. And so it's a lot going on there.
A lot going on, and when you look at what they've accomplished so far this year, they are 19-10 in the Eastern Conference, by far their worst mark in the past four seasons since LeBron rejoined this team at the midway point. They've lost 10 games already in conference. That's insane to think about.
Yeah, I mean, but also, it's not, you know, it is and it's not. It reminds me, it's not as crazy as the year the Lakers had Dwight and Kobe and Powell and Nash. It's not that wild, but it's up there just because of an older team. Like, older teams, defensively, it's just so difficult, especially in this era. Like, if it was 10 years ago, they'd be fine. Like, they'd be a perfect team because that's how the game was played. But in this era where teams are getting up and out on them, it's tough because when you play against, like, Golden State, whoever gets the rebound can push it. And they push it at a speed where it puts your defense on the brink. And if you're already a bad defensive team and you have a guy that can handle the ball, whether it's to handle it to score or create for others, it really breaks your defense down, and they're doing it repeatedly. And that's just, I mean, it creates so many different gaps and so many different open shots and open lanes for guys. It's really difficult to win that way, especially when you're not shooting at a great clip. They only won one game in the finals last year, and that's because they set a record in the first half for points scored. If they don't do that, they get swept.
Yep.
And if they find a way to meet in the finals again this year, I would be willing to bet that they will get swept.
Yeah, I don't see them. I really don't see them coming out of the East this year. But again, the next month, we have the trade deadline approaching. Someone's going to make a big move. Something's going to go down, which could change the course of the path in the Eastern Conference. I don't see Cleveland getting there this year. Jameson, it's always fun to get you on and get your basketball insight. I appreciate the time, and I know we'll catch up again next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
Definitely. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
So, Christmas is over, but now you're hit with a holiday spending hangover. If you're feeling stressed about how to pay for all the holiday cheer you spread this year, don't worry. Desert View Federal Credit Union has a Christmas debt consolidation loan to make it all more affordable. With competitive interest rates and an easy approval process, you'll have all those debts taken care of in no time. Come into Desert View today and get started. Desert View Federal Credit Union, the cure for the holiday spending hangover.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
What steps have you made to follow through with your New Year's resolution to stay healthy this year? Well, your first step should be getting your annual pass to the Jeff Manley Wellness Center. In January, an annual pass is just $130. That is less than $11 per month, a very small price to pay for access to a full-fledged gym that includes free weights, machines, cardio equipment, and a rehab-sized pool. Meet your fitness goals this year by getting your annual pass today. For more information, call 636-4841.
With the opening of the new Urgent Care Center, there are now more healthcare options to choose from than ever before here in our area. Having choices is a plus, but it can also be confusing when selecting the right option at the right time. It's important to remember to use the emergency room for severe or painful conditions that, if not treated immediately, can result in loss of life or limb. For minor illnesses or injuries that require advanced care, or at times when regular primary care physicians are not available, the Urgent Care Center can offer relief. Castleview Hospital, making communities healthier.
At KFC, we make chicken the hard way. Hand-breaded, freshly prepared, and finger-licking good. Our chicken isn't made the fast way or the easy way. Each fresh batch of the world's best chicken starts with our cooks inspecting each individual piece. Then, our fresh chicken is carefully rolled 7 times in our secret blend of 11 herbs and spices before being rocked 7 times, and then pressure-cooked at a low temperature to preserve all the great taste we're known for around the world. We could find an easier way to make chicken, but then we couldn't put our name on it.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from January 15th through January 19th.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Brand new week here on Drive Time Sports, and as far as the Coach's Corner goes, we're going to start by talking about some wrestling. We only have a few weeks left in the wrestling season. In fact, you look, and before you know it, baseball is going to be starting. We've got like a month left in the high school basketball season. That's how fast things are flying. The Emory Spartan wrestling team traveled on the road. They were in Gunnison over the weekend, and they performed quite well. Several wrestlers really showing up, a lot of matches. A lot for the coaching staff to keep track of. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Joining us over the phone, we have Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Spartan Wrestling Squad. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, good to be here.
Coach, it was a busy weekend for you guys, busy week for you in general. As we get down to the final couple of weeks of the wrestling season, I mean, it's going by in a real blur. But you guys were in Gunnison both Friday and Saturday, and you guys got a lot of wrestling. You and I were going over the results off the cuff, and boy, man, a lot of action for this wrestling team on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, we went to a round-robin tournament over there. I think they had 14 teams at it, and they kind of split them into pools, and they did 8, 9, and 10-man pools, kind of a 10-man round-robin bracket, and they all got a bunch of matches in, and we come out of there with a lot of wins. And we learned a lot and polished some of our techniques and got some good ideas on how to beat some of those upper-level wrestlers. And it was a really, really good tournament. The kids wrestled great.
So many matches for all these kids. I mean, if you look at some of the results, you know, A.C. Reeve gets 9 matches. You look at Drake Mangum gets 9 matches. Gage Mangum gets close to 10 matches. I mean, for a coach, how do you manage to try to put your attention, you know, all the way around when you have so many kids and so many events? I mean, it's impossible to watch every single one live.
Oh, it was crazy, and I got to give a big shout-out to my stat girls for being there to video them all, and we've been reviewing video the rest of the weekend and having a ball. And, they were on 6 mats in one gym, so that helped. And then, my assistant coaches are amazing. I have got a wonderful coaching staff this year, Coach Thornley, Coach Robbie, and John Mangum, and Travis Allen. And they were good to help me spread out. And we tried to keep at least one coach with each kid that was wrestling at a time, and they wrestled really well.
As you and I were going over the records, a couple of kids that stood out, I mean, Gus Dalton and Corby Christiansen, these two come away with only one loss over the course of the entire weekend, and we're talking about 8 to 9 matches for both these guys.
Yeah, they wrestled great, and you know, only the upper-level wrestlers give these two a challenge, so I'm really glad to see that there was some kids there that will push their buttons and make them come home and work on some stuff and you know, get them prepared and get them tight and right for the postseason, and it's coming up here real quick. So we're really excited about it. You know, we did come out of the weekend with some bumps and bruises. We got some sore ribs and sore fingers and sore elbows and stuff like that. And they wrestled through pain and came out, you know, pretty much everybody who went in the tournament finished. But we did get Gage Mangum foot banged up, so he didn't finish the last couple. So a couple of those losses were forfeits for him. But he did great, and we're really proud of him for jumping up and filling a varsity spot for us there. You know, Chase went out on an ankle injury the night before at practice, so we were pretty bummed to have him out. But everybody wrestled really good.
You know, one of the kids that continues to stand out, and every time you and I have a conversation, I mean, we're talking about him getting victories, it's A.C. Reeve, the heavyweight spot for you guys. I mean, has A.C. really developed into a strong, strong possibility of a state champion for you guys at the top at 285?
He's sitting ranked number 2 right now. You know, they update these rankings every week. And I'm so excited. We talked about this the first of the season. I have 4 number 2 seeds going into the postseason right now. And I'm super charged about that. And AC's one of them. You know, Corby has a co-2 seed with the South Summit kid with a GWAB kid over them at 113. I've got Gus Dalton ranked 2nd. And I split with 2nd and 3rd at 152. I've got Newt ranked 2 at 170, and I've got AC ranked number 2 at heavyweight. And right there pushing him every day is Drake Hoffman, who's a ranked wrestler, is our junior varsity wrestler at 285. And he's a little light for the class, you know, weighing right around 250 and wrestling those big boys like a dream. So, you know, wrestle-offs last week were a 2-point match between AC and Drake. So these guys are pushing each other hard in the room. And with those guys pushing like that, things look really good. You know, my 106-pounders, I've got 2 of them that are top 8 in the state right now. I believe Dwayne's ranked number 5 at 120. Drake Mangum is ranked number 6. Zach World's ranked number 5 at 32. You know, we've got Briar Macarello, who took out 2 ranked kids this weekend again at 138. We don't have him in the ranking yet, but he'll be there. And at 145, I believe McKay is sitting split 4th-5th. So, you know, come tournament play, line bracket play, our team's going to shine. We're going to put points on the board and really do well. And I'm deep in those lower weights, and they're going to knock out a lot of varsity kids and keep them from scoring points against us. You know, we've got Jaron and Dax and you know, Gage Mangum at 26, and Aiden Mortensen's another one of our freshmen that's really coming along and wrestling well at 132. You know, he's been between 38 and 32, and we've got also Zane DeFace healthy again back at 120. So, I mean, I am pretty deep at 120 on guys that can beat varsity kids. So, and that's one we forgot to talk about, Zane DeFace at the junior varsity level this weekend. He wrestled amazing too, so.
Definitely a lot to get excited about. Definitely a lot, Coach. Again, we're being joined by Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Sport and Wrestling Team. You brought up an interesting point there, Coach, something that I've never really thought about. Some of the younger kids may be clearing a path for some of the varsity kids on this team. That's an interesting dynamic, I guess, I never really thought about when we talk about wrestling, especially state tournament time.
Yes, you know, state tournament time. In the divisional tournament especially, we hope to push at least two in every weight class into the top eight at divisionals and get them into the 16-man bracket at the state tournament. And, you know, we can put two individuals in at each weight class, and those lower five weight classes, we should be able to get it done. And then that also helps us, you know, at the state tournament, take out some of those scoring wrestlers for the opposing teams, and it helps us all the way through. So I'm really kind of excited to see what kind of numbers we can put on the board, what kind of team points we can score with our wrestlers, because, you know, the wrestlers that I have are tight and right. We're excited about them.
Coach, let's take a look at what the schedule looks like for you guys this week. You'll travel to Manti on Wednesday, and then you're going to go to the Rockwell Rumble, which is going to be at Utah Valley on both Friday and Saturday. So, again, a very busy week for you guys as we continue to just move right through the month of January. It doesn't slow down anytime soon.
No, it doesn't. And Manti should be, you know, they've got a couple of ranked wrestlers in a couple of weight classes. We're going to have our hands full, but as a whole, we should dominate Manti, and we should come out of there healthy and tight and right and ready to wrestle at the Rumble. And the Rockwell Rumble is a national invitational, and, you know, it's kind of the elite of the elite. These kids will march in there in a 64 or a 32-man bracket and have to survive to medals. So the ones that are going, they've got their hands full, and they know what level that we're going to wrestle at. And the neat part about that is that it's at the same venue as the state tournament, which gets these guys excited about wrestling there. It gets them used to the facility. They can take those tough matches home there in that atmosphere and visualize that state tournament and really come back ready to wrestle.
That's, again, another very interesting point because, you know, we always talk about home court advantage for Emory in basketball. The fact that you have the standalone hoops and the depth perception for opposing teams is completely different when they come into the Spartan Center. And, of course, home field advantage always seems to play a factor in baseball and football. Wrestling, I mean, getting to know the facility in itself, it can't hurt. I mean, knowing the environment you're going to be in when you're competing for a state championship.
Yeah, you know what? Anytime you can go wrestle in the place that you're going to do your finals in and have a feel for that, and you know, if you own it in your mind, you own it in reality. And if you can go see that and smell it and taste it, and I'm big on visualization, so these guys can go wrestle as tough a matches as they're going to see up there this weekend and then come back for the state finals ready to wrestle, so.
Well, as the schedule moves on, Coach, as far as home wrestling meets go, I don't have the schedule in front of me. We're getting down to it, right, as far as home meets go?
Yeah, we're getting, I've got two more. I've got one more, excuse me. North San Pete's going to come, not this week, but next week. We go to Gunnison on Tuesday, and they come on Wednesday, and then we do a week off and then divisionals, so it'll be good.
Yeah, the season is rapidly coming to an end. I can't believe how fast it's moving. Again, already in the middle of January. And, Coach, it's always fun to get you on and get updates on this team. My old boys are working extremely hard, so I appreciate you making out the time to talk a little bit about their progress this deep into the season.
Yep, appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Definitely, Coach. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay.
Again, that's Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Sport and Wrestling Team talking about that high tempo, that high schedule. It's a grind for wrestling. I'm kind of shocked that injuries don't occur more often in that sport. It's such a physical, demanding schedule for these kids. And we get down to the final few weeks of the season. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We're going to talk NFL football. Going beyond the X's and O's, were the Pittsburgh Steelers outcoached? Was it that simple? Was Mike Tomlin outcoached as Pittsburgh fell victim to the upset bug yesterday? We'll talk about that. Plus, look ahead of the NFC-AFC championship games. That's coming up next on Drive Time Sports.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away, three ball. Good! Phillip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go, here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk, 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m., KOAL. You're listening to News Talk 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, Price, and translator K259 CM Price.